Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to another NRL Hunter podcast brought to you by Sig Sauer. I am here with one amazing young lady, Kelsey. Kelsey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Travis.
Absolutely. So I like to do a little bit of an introduction for our audience that's listening that may not know who you are. Can you give a brief description of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So my name is Kelsey Schutz. I live in Colorado. I was born in Reno, Nevada, and moved to Colorado when I was pretty young. So live here now. And I work in sales in genetic testing. And I got into shooting about a year and a half ago. That's when I started getting into the NRL Hunter and learned about it actually through my husband.
Nice. So husband shoots, your husband's name's Trevor.
Yes. Yep.
And he was a competitor and then kind of roped you into it.
That's exactly correct. So I did not grow up shooting. Never handled any kind of gun when I was younger. It wasn't until about 5 years ago when I met Trevor. And on our second date, he took me out to the range, took me shooting. And that's when I got a feel for, you know, handguns, rifles, all of that. And about a year after that, he actually bought me my first rifle. And it was a Ruger American left-handed rifle, and got into it a little bit then. But really my primary focus was just to learn how to shoot to hunt. So I went out to the range with him a few times, you know, kind of got a feel for, you know, what shooting's all about, did some practice at long range, but that was it. And it wasn't until probably 2021 that Trevor came to me and said, "Hey, I heard about this NRL Hunter thing. I want to start doing competitions." And I was like, "Cool, you know, go have fun, go do your thing." And he did a couple competitions, and then he went up to the match in Laramie, Wyoming, Colin put on, and he invited me up to come spectate. So day two, I went out with him, walked around, you know, got to watch all the stages and kind of see what it's all about. And immediately I was, you know, kind of intimidated by it. But like I said, you know, I hadn't done a lot of shooting and I hadn't done any shooting competitions before. So I was like, wow, this is intense. You know, there's a lot going on, a lot of really strong competitors. And he just kept pushing. He's like, "I think you'd be good at this. I think you'd enjoy it." And I was like, "I don't know." Until 2022, when it was another Wyoming match, and he said, "Look, I'm going to go back up. I'm going to do this match. Would you do it with me as a team?" And I said, "Fine." So that was probably the only way I was going to get into this style of competition, was doing it as a team first, because it kind of gave me someone, you know, to lean on through the stages. And so it was last year in April that I did my first NRL Hunter match with him.
That is freaking awesome. I love the story, but I can't get over the fact that he took you shooting on your second date.
Not only did he take me shooting on our second date, he then brought me back and cooked me an elk steak dinner.
Dude, what a stud.
I know. Yeah. So I was pretty swooned by that point.
Yeah, that was, he was like, "Marry me now." That's awesome. I mean, it's very cool to hear your story of how you got into it. Cause I mean, obviously we've talked a little bit at the matches and so on and so forth, but I never quite understood the dynamics of how everything evolved for you guys. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I wanted to, you know, get you, invite you onto the podcast and have you on because this past year I've noticed you and Trevor like go, I don't know, not necessarily go out of your way. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but you have shot as individuals, you have shot as team, and you guys have RO'd a ton of different matches. So you guys have kind of this trifecta of experience, and I wanted to have you on and hear about your thoughts on everything. One of the biggest goals for the NRL Hunter and for the hunting community, I think, is embracing and empowering and encouraging more women to get involved. So hearing this, I'd love to hear your story. It's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I have come to love the NRL Hunter, and it's something that, you know, is a strong passion of mine now. And I I didn't see that coming, you know, before I got into it. Cause like I said, I was pretty intimidated. And like you said, there aren't a lot of women shooters right now. And I really hope that, you know, we can get more women shooting. But the team division really helped me because when I came into this, I had no experience with ranging targets or, you know, being on the clock or building a position, right? All of this stuff was very new to me. And so getting to come and do it as a team with my husband helped me a lot. And then it wasn't until the finale last year that we shot that as a team. And I remember driving home and I said, I can't wait until the schedule comes out for 2023. And I told my husband, I said, we're going to write down every match we want to go to and make it a goal, you know, to go to them. And so we ended up buying a fifth wheel trailer so that we could travel around the United States to these matches. And it worked out really nicely for us to be able to RO some of them because we traveled in the trailer. We got to work on the road and we got to RO, and then we got to see everyone shoot on Saturday and Sunday.
I did not realize you guys were a traveling family of competitors as well.
Yep.
Like all in.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we really dove all in this year. And, you know, I wasn't sure when I was going to be ready to start shooting as an individual. The first two matches we did as a team, and then I was thinking of trying one as an individual in Arizona this year. But we ended up coming down with the flu right before we went. And so we were both pretty sick. So we decided to shoot that one as a team again. But at that point, I felt like I had enough under my belt as far as knowing, you know, a little bit more as to how to do these competitions, that I was ready to start shooting them, you know, by myself. And I'm really glad I did. It just pushed me into a different level. You know, it made me a better shooter. It made me just focus on things that I didn't even realize, you know, were kind of like points where I wasn't good in certain areas as far as like building those positions on the clock. I had always kind of leaned on Trevor for a lot of that. So the dynamic between us is when we shoot as a team, he would always shoot first. Okay. And not only did he give me a great wind call, but he showed me how to build a position that worked, you know, based on the stage. And so shooting as an individual, I didn't have that ability anymore. I didn't have anyone to rely on for my wind call. I had to figure that out myself. And building a position, same thing, you know, I had to figure that out. And so when I started shooting individually, I saw a lot of growth in my shooting.
That's fantastic. Now, at the beginning of this conversation, you talked about intimidation. Mm-hmm. I think intimidation, and you can attest to this better than I can, obviously, but I think intimidation is one of the biggest factors why more females aren't getting into the sport. Can you kind of tell us what some of your intimidations were and how you overcame them, and if they were actually true intimidations or if it was just something that was not really that big of a deal, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think growing up, I played a lot of sports and I was super competitive. I always have been, but all the sports I played were team sports. So I never really had to do anything by myself and only rely on my own abilities. And seeing how the NRL Hunter worked, you know, I saw how people only had to rely on themselves. You know, they were timed from the second they left that stake to, you know, when the time ended or they took their last shot. You know, they had no idea where these targets were. They had to figure out, you know, how to range them. And, you know, there's difficulties with that. And so there's a lot at play with these competitions. And I think it can be a little overwhelming at first, but when you break it down, it's very simple. And I think that you can make this incredibly complicated. I see people do it all the time. That's why I love rowing. You can make it very simple. And so when I was first debating doing this, you know, I kept saying, and I kept telling my husband, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough shooter. You know, I want to get better before I go do it. And everyone kept telling me, you're not going to get better unless you go and do these competitions. So similar to like riding a bike, right? Like you can sit at home and you can watch a YouTube video on like the best way to ride a bike, but unless you actually go out and get on that bike and try it, you don't know how you're going to do or how it's going to be. And so I think, you know, from an outside perspective, it can look very intimidating, but it was pretty false from what I actually experienced when I got into it, because I was immediately met with some incredible people, people who just took me under their wing and, you know, gave me advice, you know, tips and tricks, reminded me that everything was okay if a stage went wrong, you know. And I keep going back to ROing, but it's been so great being able to do that, because people come through my stage and I get to see different ways that people will run a stage. Some people really rely on their tripod. Other people have triple pulls and they rely on that, you know, and everyone ranges differently. There's so many different ways to do it, but at the end of the day, it's very simple.
Nice. That's awesome. I mean, we do everything as a community that we can to embrace everybody and encourage them to come out and welcome them and help them. Can you recount one of the first times you had an oh shit moment? Like, what did I just do? I want to hear the Kelsey uh-oh moment.
Oh, I have a lot of those, to be honest. Just to recount one at the finale. So this last finale, you know, up in Laramie, there was a stage where there was a giant tree branch just right in front of it, and your stakes were behind the tree branch. And I got up there and I, you know, put all my stuff down, and I immediately set up my tripod to where I would set it up to do a kneeling position, take a shot at a kneeling position. Well, these tree branches were a lot taller than my kneeling position. And so then I realized I needed to get it taller, you know, so I raised it up a little bit. I didn't go to my standing height. And so I got in like a really weird position. I ranged the targets. I got on my rifle. I took the two shots at the first two targets, went to move to the second position, and it was even taller. So then I had to set my rifle down, get my tripod even taller. I ran out of time. I just felt like everything, you know, I didn't read the stage right when I first got up there. And it just felt like one of those really dumb mental mistakes that are easily avoidable. But, you know, when you're under that stress and pressure, it adds to it. And it's like you kind of get tunnel vision. At least that's my experience with it, where, you know, you have that pressure of time and finding the targets and kind of associating yourself with where you are at that stage. And it can get a little frazzled. So that was probably my most recent one.
I think that's actually though quite a common like frazzle or error that people mistake, because I've seen seasoned competitors that have been doing this for several years. I mean, not one or two, but several years, make similar type of errors, just because they're not assessing the entire stage or what's around them to use, right? But that's definitely something that you learn, but you learn that by practicing or by competing and being a part of it, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, as a female competitor, do you find any disadvantages in some of the matches that you've attended? An example could be like, you know, maybe it's like we just talked about, maybe the height is weird for a female because, you know, females are sometimes shorter than men, or maybe it's, you know, a position that you have to be in because your anatomy is different. Is there a difference for females competing, or how do you overcome those obstacles?
Yeah, great question. I don't think I've came into a disadvantage because I'm a female. Certainly I have height disadvantages. I'm 5'4". Like I struggle on some of them, you know, where there's a tall rock. There was one at the finale and some of the men were able to just go right next to it, put their rifle on it, take a shot. Well, that wasn't happening for me. I had to crawl all the way on top of the rock to be able to take a position or take a shot. But okay. That's just, you know, that comes with it. And I know a lot of men who are shorter who have to deal with the same thing. The other thing that I notice is I'm left-handed. And so there are certain stages where it'll be an advantage if you're left-handed or a disadvantage if you're left-handed. Yes. And, you know, there are people who are left-handed and right-handed. It's just kind of the luck of the draw. So I've definitely dealt with both. The finale, there was one where you had to set your rifle on the tree. And it was a major advantage if you were left-handed, because when you opened your bolt, that it was easy. But if you're right-handed, there was a tree branch in the way.
Right.
Yep. So it just, you know, it kind of comes with that. But being female, I don't think there's any disadvantage. Like I said, it's just, it can be a little overwhelming at first when you show up to a match and, you know, you're one of maybe five women out of 150. But other than that, I mean, every single person I've ever met at a match has been so welcoming, you know, and willing to help.
Nice. So being wrong-handed, no, being left-handed, do you practice right-handed?
I do not. The very first time I shot with my husband, I had a shoot with a right-handed action. But other than that, I've always shot left-handed.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cool. I know some, like Jake Vibber, who's one of the top shooters in the nation, he's left-handed as well. And so it's interesting talking to him because he practices right-handed and he's equally as strong, but he's definitely, you know, his comforts with that left-handed action. So, okay. ROing. Why did you and Trevor decide to RO?
Yeah, great question. He RO'd a match before I got into the NRL Hunter and he really enjoyed it. And so when we both started competing, he's like, you know, I think this would be something that'd be good for us to do, you know, shoot the entire course of fire on Friday. And then we RO everyone Saturday and Sunday. So our very first match, we did not RO, but we did RO the finale last year. So I got a taste for it then and I enjoyed it a lot. I think personally, I do better with a little more fast pace. So ROing, you know, there's still blind stages. You're shooting the entire course of fire in one day. So it's a little more fast. You don't have that 30-minute break in between each stage, to kind of recoup. And it works better for me because if a stage goes bad, I have to forget about it and move on to the next stage. If a stage goes good, you know, I need to forget about that and move on to the next stage. And where I think I really benefit and enjoy ROing is watching all the competitors come through on Saturday and Sunday, because like I said, it's a simple format, but you can make it very complicated. And a lot of these stages allow for, you know, variations in how people decide to shoot them. Right. So, you know, a lot of people will go prone if they can get prone, but other people are just as comfortable off the tripod. And I've seen some really unique ways of shooting the stages, and it just gives me more insight as to how I could approach a stage and work through it. So that's been really fun. And then just getting to meet all the competitors, like it gives me that, you know, minute or two after they're done with the stage to get to interact with them, get to know them on a personal basis. Right. And I just have enjoyed that so much. I feel like we've made so many friends through this, and you know, it's like they're lifelong friends. They're people we want to have over and barbecue with, or, you know, go shoot on the weekend with, and, you know, and that's just really cool.
Nice. That's awesome. So in the 2024 season that we're working on right now, do you plan to continue to RO and compete, or are you guys going to just be competitors? Do you guys have a game plan for any of that yet?
I think we'd love to RO and compete. That's something that both Trevor and I have just come to enjoy. It's kind of funny though. I felt like after the finale, you know, Trevor and I did not RO the finale. And I felt like I had so much more energy after Saturday as a competitor, because when you RO, you shoot that entire course of fire on Friday. Right. And then you have to go and weigh in, you know, and then on Saturday, you're up before everyone else. You're to that stage. And you're ROing all day. You don't get a break. You know, you don't get to just sit and relax. You're constantly, you know, putting people on the clock, you know, glassing everything. And so it was funny after the finale, after Saturday, I was like, wow, I have so much more energy than I usually do when I RO, but I really do enjoy it. So I think we're going to continue ROing and shooting.
Nice. ROing, it's a lot of work. I mean, just for the exact reasons that you mentioned, but you have to not only just be there and be present, but you have to be mentally aware of everything that's going on. So yeah. It's definitely a lot of work. So we're super grateful that you guys come out and you know, choose to do that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, happy to.
Now, this I'm also curious. You seem like you mentioned that it's been a positive experience for you, and you guys always seem very positive. But shooting as a team, husband and wife, I mean, that's like a big no-no for a lot of couples. But you guys seem to do it very well. What's the insight on that?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I feel like the first couple times that we shot as a team, whenever we'd show up to a stage, people would be like, wait, you're husband and wife and you're still talking to each other.
Right?
Like, wait, will you let us know after this competition ends if you're still talking to each other? And I think that's something that Trevor and I really pushed very early on in our relationship was good communication. So, you know, we had that foundation already. But certainly it's not easy shooting with your spouse all the time. It takes a lot, you know, you get frustrated with yourself and with your spouse. And I know Trevor got very frustrated with me at my first competition because I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. Wasn't watching how he'd build his position and I'd go try and build a different one and, you know, it wouldn't work or whatever. And one of our friends gave us this rule. It's the 5-minute rule. Where like you have 5 minutes after that stage ends to be frustrated, upset, whatever it is that you're feeling, and then you have to let it go. And I think that helps a lot because if you're frustrated with how you performed on that stage or, you know, something your spouse or, you know, your partner did, whatever it is, you got to just let it go and move on. And I think it's been, you know, really cool for us to do this together. And it's definitely made me not only just a stronger competitive person in general, but it's made me such a better shooter. And it's made me, you know, respect how good of a shooter my husband is as well.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's really cool. I've never heard the rule of five used in that context like that before. I think that's really cool. But there's a part of me that's got to say, on your drive home, you got to bring some of that back up. I mean, come on.
Especially when you're pulling a fifth wheel and you're going slow and you're stopping for gas every 5 hours. Yeah, I mean, it does get brought up. And that's something where I really struggled with the first competition because I felt like I weighed him down a lot. You know, a lot of it came down to I didn't know how to compete yet in these matches. And, you know, I was like, you would have done so much better with another, you know, teammate, but it really did like teach me a lot and it made me grow so much quicker than I think I would have if I shot as an individual. So, I mean, hats off to Trevor for just like sticking with me and, you know, wanting to keep doing it. But yeah, I think, you know, there are moments where it's difficult, you know, and you kind of get mad or whatever, but I mean, I hear teammates all the time where they're just two friends and it's funny hearing their perspective because they'll be like, well, I'll just grab his feet and move him and turn him to where that dang second target is. You know, my husband's like, honey, it's to the right. So trying to be nice about it.
No, that's awesome. I think it takes a not only mentally strong, but a relationship strong a couple to be able to shoot in a team, especially in a high pressure environment like this. And when I say high pressure, it's only as much pressure as you guys put on yourselves in reality. But I think it's absolutely fantastic that both of you guys are able to do it and to the public eye, pull it off and still be smiling and happy when you guys, you know, leave at the end of the day. I think it's absolutely fantastic. So yes, kudos to Trevor, but also kudos to you because that's fantastic. Brittany and I, I tried coaching her at a match. And after that, we decided, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. we'll let so-and-so coach you and so-and-so can do whatever. Cause it's, without that communication and learning how to do all of that, it's very difficult. And so the fact that you guys do it and you guys do it very well, it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I love that point you made because, you know, now that I'm shooting as an individual competitor, I do feel myself gravitating towards other people to give me advice and kind of, you know, point me in the right direction if things go wrong. And I, you know, nothing against Trevor, but I think that's just something where I need to hear it from someone else. And I just, it's easier to take. So, I mean, like Isaiah Curtis is an example where after a stage went wrong in Oklahoma last year, he's like, hey, can I help you out with a few things that went wrong? And I'm like, yes, please. you know, and it's just easier to hear from someone like that, and versus my husband all the time.
Right.
And, you know, then I can immediately be like, oh, that's what I did wrong, and things that I didn't even see. So I definitely understand that.
Yeah, I think it's a human thing, right? Because you're gonna, if Trevor tells you something, it might go in and out. I'll tell you the exact same thing, and it clicks.
Yep.
And it'll be vice versa. Brittany will be telling me something, and I'm like, yeah, I don't get it, whatever. And then you'll tell me, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So it's a weird human thing that it's hard for us to take advice or listen in detail to our spouses sometimes, but to friends or strangers, they can say the exact same thing, and it just clear as day. It's weird, huh?
Yeah, that's so accurate.
I wish it wasn't that way. Life would be so much simpler, because then it's always, why'd you listen to him and not me?
Absolutely.
So, but it's a lot of fun for sure. So do you guys see yourselves competing as a team next season?
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm considering. I was joking, like, I'd never shoot with him as a teammate again, only because I love shooting as an individual so much. But I still do love shooting with him as a teammate too. He's going to be going to Still Safari here soon and shooting with, you know, another teammate. And I think that's great. You know, I would be open to shooting with another teammate just to see how, you know, I interact with someone else as a teammate, and definitely with him again too. Just, I enjoy shooting as an individual so much right now that I want to keep, you know, pushing those personal goals as well.
I think that that's fantastic. And I like your point of being able to shoot with other teammates, because when you get outside of what you're comfortable with, you learn more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that that's fantastic. I absolutely want to see you guys compete together as a team, but I'd love to see you join a female team and just kick everybody's butt in the team division. I think that would be killer.
I agree.
So, all right. People are going to want to know, I know you're shooting a left-handed action, but what's our rifle breakdown and what does that look like? And are we staying the same for next season?
Definitely staying the same. So this season at the Colorado match, I was able to pull a cert for a Burris scope. It's the XTR Pro, and I love that scope. It's been great to me, so I'm going to keep that. And I use the XLR chassis. And I actually just switched over to a Falkor action. And I really enjoyed that. That's what I shot at the finale. So, all of that paired with, a Thunderbeast suppressor. So, you know, keeping it simple, keeping it nice, works great for me with a proof barrel. So definitely going to be sticking with it moving forward.
And representing a lot of local companies.
Absolutely. That's my number one thing. It's if there's a company nearby, I really want to support them and represent them.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. So same rifle, what caliber are you shooting? Are you Creedmoor, or what are you running?
Yep, it's a 6.5 Creed.
So you're going to stay with the 6.5 Creed and the same setup. Are you shooting, I know it's in the ladies division, but is it an open heavy or open light?
It is open heavy.
Okay. What, if you don't mind me asking, do you remember the weight of your rifle roughly?
Ooh, we're close to 16. We're just under.
Just under 16.
Yeah, I think our very first competition, Trevor and I shot together, we both shot open light because he enjoys shooting open light.
Right.
And so that's what I shot too. But as you know, it doesn't matter if it's open light or open heavy for a team.
Right.
So it's more advantageous to shoot open heavy just so you don't have, you know, as much recoil management to deal with. So kind of same thing for ladies. I think I'm able to spot my misses or impacts a little bit better with a heavier rifle. So that's what I've been going with.
Nice. Very cool. So I'll ask you what some people might consider a controversial topic. And I don't think that there's necessarily a right or a wrong answer here, because I see it from both sides. It's kind of like the 45 9mm debate. It just works for certain people, right? Whatever. There has been, in the precision rifle world, not NRL Hunter per se, but in precision rifle, there have been people that say, well, with such a low attendance of female shooting, should they have their own division? And then there's been females that say, well, we want to not have our own division because we want to show that we're just as good as the guys are and beat the guys at their own game. But then there's also females that say, we want our own division because we do have to do things slightly different based upon, physical features, things of that nature, so on and so forth. What are your thoughts? Should the women have their own division? Should there be, a different weight classes for the females division? In your world, if you are running the ladies, the ladies side of relations, what would you say that would be perfect?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great question. I really enjoy having a ladies division. And I think with the small count of women who are shooting this right now, and I say right now because I really hope this changes, I would love for more women to come out and start shooting these. But I think it really, pushes us women who are shooting to have something to look forward to. Personally, one of my goals is to start competing in open light or open heavy. And, try and get a first, second, or third there. I would love that. But that's down the road for me, right? I mean, right. Like I said, I've been competing in this for a year and a half. So right now, I really enjoy getting to compete with the other women, to seeing, seeing how we stack up against each other. And I think that's great. I would absolutely keep it. I think that if it was more of like a 50-50 split, I could see where, it might be more advantageous to just have, the separate weight divisions and factory and stuff like that. But personally, I love having a ladies division.
In my opinion, it also helps give the ladies one less thing to be intimidated about, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes going against, a 6'2" dude that's, walking through stages like it's easy, can be very intimidating, where if you're, with the other females and so on and so forth, you build that camaraderie and you guys understand your triumphs and your sufferings and your joys and everything together. I think it makes it great because there is no rule saying that you can't shoot in a open heavy or open light division and go kick the guy's ass.
Yep. And I've considered that just with, my Ruger American. Like, I love that rifle. It's the most accurate rifle that we have in our house. And I'm like, gosh, I would love to just kick ass in the factory division. But like I said, I'm not quite there yet. Maybe at some point next season.
I'd love to see that.
I love the ladies division. So,
yeah. No, I think it's great. So from your side, how do we get more ladies involved?
Such a great question. I wish I had the answer for that. It really took my husband like forcing me into this to some extent to get into the NRL Hunter and start competing. I think I've had people mention to me, maybe some just like one day courses where they're like NRL Hunter related, where women can come out and just do some mock stages, kind of get a feel for what it's like. The other thing is, the skills division is huge, and I didn't know about the skills division when I first started shooting this. Sure. So I don't know how many people are aware of it, but it's a really great way to get your feet wet, get in and start, trying it for a little bit less of a fee to right. come to these matches and get a lot of help. Right. I've even been to matches over last season where we had so many ROs that we paired ROs with skills shooters to walk with them and help them through the right. entire match, which is incredible. That's the kind of, knowledge and help that you could not pay for even in a weekend anywhere else. So to get that at a match is huge. So, if there are women who are considering shooting in one of these or, questioning whether or not it might be something down the road they're interested in, I would just recommend to get out to the range, shoot a little bit and just sign up for one of these matches next year and just go out and see. And I promise you'll be surprised with how much fun it is.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's been brought to my attention that the skills division hasn't been made as aware as it should have been, in the past couple of seasons. And that's absolutely our fault over here. So we're going to work hard for 2024 to really make that, knowledgeable for everybody, to make them aware that they can do the skills, which, like you said, it's a portion of, it's half the cost usually of what a normal fee is. and you get help from some of the best competitors out there. So it's, I think it's absolutely fantastic program that we need to publish more.
Yeah. And the other thing is there's a massive NRL Hunter community on Facebook. You know, there's that page for it. So if you are someone who wants to get into this, female or male, like just reach out on there and say, hey, this is kind of the area I live. Does anyone want to go out to the range with me? My husband and I will go out and we'll just like time each other. We'll just practice deploying our tripod, ranging things that are targets or aren't targets, you know, doing things that just get us in the right mindset to go to these competitions and be able to compete.
Nice. Awesome. I always get this question too, which is kind of weird to me. Not always, but a lot, is females ask me about gear. You know, stuff that fits them best, or what brand do I recommend? Obviously, females' bodies are cut different than men. Their backpacks are different than men's backpacks. If it's a good pack company, they usually make a woman's and a men's version, things of that nature. Is there a specific setup that you have found in the past year and a half or a couple of years that works best for you as far as clothing and pack and so on and so forth?
You know, I use a lot of Kuyu stuff.
Okay.
That's worked great for me. As far as like a backpack goes, I don't know what brand I use, but I know it's a small kind of female version, and that's worked really great. Just something light that's gonna store my ammo. I don't carry a lot of things with me. And I think that's something I learned very early on, is you can bring with you as much stuff or as little stuff as you want. But the importance are obviously a tripod and a bag and your rifle and your ammo. And above that, you know, I try and not bring a whole lot else except for maybe some snacks for in between stages, you know, to keep me going, and,
yep,
and some liquid IV, and that's it. But that's definitely a great question. And as far as that goes, I don't think there's, you know, one way to do it that's correct. I think just whatever fits you and whatever feels comfortable,
right,
and what you'd use to take hunting, that's what I'd recommend.
Nice. So you told us at the beginning of the show that you got into precision shooting also to become a better hunter.
Yeah.
So let's talk about hunting. What do you hunt? Where do you hunt? What do you like to hunt? What's on the bucket list?
I am so green to hunting. I'll be completely honest. I did not grow up hunting. I didn't even know I was going to get into hunting up until a few years ago. And when my husband bought me that Ruger American, I was like, all right, now I'm ready. Like, let's go do this. And the first big game hunt I went on was up in Wyoming, and I went antelope hunting.
Nice.
And it was a blast. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And from there, you know, we've put in for tags up in Wyoming. We were unsuccessful the past, I was unsuccessful the past 2 years. My husband drew last year. But we actually, both my husband and I applied for what's called the Elk Dispersal Project in Colorado.
Okay.
And so really, you just have to go and do a shooting test down in the sand dunes. And if you pass, then they will take you onto the sand dunes and you'll get to not hunt elk, but help them to, you know, take care of some of their elk. So both of us qualified last year. We were able to go and harvest 2 elk from that, which was really incredible. That was my first elk. And so, you know, I started getting my feet wet in that, and I definitely want to, you know, keep hunting in the future. I don't quite know what that looks like yet. I'd love to go, you know, in Colorado somewhere in the mountains and spend a few days actually, you know, getting a little more intense than what we've done up in Wyoming. But yeah, definitely don't have a lot of plans for that as of right now.
So you've shot 2 of the most tasty animals in the Western coast. I mean, on the West side, right? What do you like better, elk or antelope?
So the first year when we got our antelope, they were fed off of like farmer's green grass. Like, these antelope were just eating the good life.
Yeah.
And those antelope tasted fantastic. I mean, you could put that next to beef and it wouldn't even do beef justice. But I will say the elk that we have had and that Trevor's had in the past has just been phenomenal. So I think elk is definitely my favorite. And we do a lot of elk burgers. And those turn out fantastic. And then Italian sausage also turns out really well. So any of that, I'm probably an elk girl.
Heck yeah. Do you process your own game or do you take it to a butcher?
We do all of our own processing. So
nice.
Yep. And usually my husband and his entire family goes, well, I say entire family, his grandpa, his dad, his brother-in-law, all the guys go hunting every year, right at the end of October, early November in Colorado. They usually come back with anywhere from 4 to 5 deer, at least one elk. And we spend the entire weekend processing all of them. So that was, I mean, first 5 months of us dating, I got involved in that, which was something, you know, I really wasn't expecting, but I have fun. I enjoy it. So, you know, it's nice to be able to have some meat in the freezer and to be able to provide for us.
That's awesome. So no hunts this year planned as of right now?
No. So this year has been kind of an odd year for us. Chronic wasting disease has been huge in Colorado this year.
Okay.
And that's been spreading through a lot of the deer and into the elk populations. And we also had a really harsh winter last year. And so the winter kill was up, chronic wasting's up. So unfortunately, we didn't draw any tags in Colorado or Wyoming. No hunting as of right now planned. My husband might go up and, you know, get an over-the-counter elk tag at some point in late October, early November. But other than that, we're just going to plan for a big year next year.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. So what would your, I don't know if you've even thought about this, but what would your dream hunt be?
Somewhere in Alaska. That's all I'll say. Somewhere in Alaska would be phenomenal.
Don't care if it's a moose or if it's caribou or bear or.
I don't even. Yeah. All of the above. Let's knock them all out.
Nice. Well, we are working on a NRO hunter match in Alaska in 2025.
Wow, that's incredible. And I know there's some in the work in Canada next year too.
Canada's going to happen. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Canada's going to happen. So there's going to be some opportunities up there. And I think it's bear season when the matches are going to take place. I'm not sure. I'd have to confirm all of that. But yeah, there'll be some opportunities to go shoot a match and in those areas, there's hunting opportunities. I just have to figure out what seasons they are, but yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say that our fifth wheel is going to make it up to Alaska, but I think we can make it up to Canada.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Jim C just drove to Alaska. He's actually driving home as we speak.
Wow.
Yeah. From Iowa.
Wow. That's a long drive.
Yeah. So anything's possible.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're almost at that time. What would you like to say to the audience or to women that are thinking about this or just in general, what would you like to leave a note on?
Yeah, I think, you know, the only recommendation I can give is to just get out there and try it. Anything you do, the first time you do it, it's going to be uncomfortable. But the more you do it, you know, the more confident you get, the more fun you're going to have. And I promise you won't regret it. So I really recommend, you know, just diving in, meeting people in your area, going out and shooting, you know, and hopefully we can just continue to keep growing this community.
Awesome. Kelsey, I really appreciate your time. I can't wait to see you next season and you and Trevor and to see how you guys progress with your shooting adventures. And it's just been awesome. I really appreciate you guys being a part of the community.
Thanks, Travis. I'm really looking forward to next season.
Well, thank you. For everybody tuning in, we hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, keep shooting, and we'll see you guys at a match. Take care.